Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will be talking about the upcoming astrological transits on November 26, 2017. This is the first quarter moon that is associated with the solar eclipse from February 26, 2017. We will also discuss the moon conjunct Neptune and sextile Pluto on February 27, 2017. Listen as Swami explains the value of using these transits to keep yourself in the image of the divine. After all is said and done, we are all here to glorify the Creator. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and be that place where divine law shines through. So Swami, why don't you get us started and let's start talking about the first quarter moon. From this last solar eclipse.
Yeah, now that was yesterday. What we talk about is the 2 year, 2 month, and 28 day cycle that a solar eclipse has, the gestation period for human development, for growing psychologically and spiritually in a positive direction. And so that particular eclipse on February 26th, that was the new moon phase, which means the seed was in the ground. And so yesterday, that seed breaks ground. The sprout starts to show. What you want to really be focusing on, it's really helpful if you know where the transit falls in your natal chart, because that's going to have like a flashlight effect on that particular department in your life. And then to try and capture the theme, Whatever this particular eclipse means for you in your development. And so using events, circumstances, situations as clues to help us maybe get a better understanding of what is it that we are supposed to participate with. Because that's a big part of, well, the next transit that we're going to talk about is this whole thing of the moon conjunct Neptune and the whole thing of trying to understand ourselves spiritually.
Yeah, I know we always talk about that there's a process and procedure, so we can use these transits to help us in this process of becoming more connected to our divinity.
Yeah, absolutely. That it is a biosphere of energy that's available to us at any time. Awakening to your likeness with the divine is something that's available to us at any given moment. But there is a certain degree of understanding that we have to achieve in order to be able to harmonize ourselves with divine law.
Yeah, I like how you used that word, harmonize with divine law. So what is it that we need to know about with these aspects to help us, like we said in the summary of the show, to help us become the image of the divine?
Yeah, one of the main things is what we were talking about and the moon conjunct Neptune, this whole concept of trying to understand ourselves spiritually. And I think a big question that we might want to ask is, why would we want to? And then what are the other modes of operation that we can exist from? And what are the differences? And that's one of the things that we typically always talk about, is that humans are complex beings and reality is multidimensional. The whole thing of trying to understand yourself spiritually is different than understanding ourselves materially or mentally. So that an understanding that happens when we are using sensual awareness. And typically that is our lowest base of operation, where we are more instinctual, emotional, reactive. And we're kind of backed by unconscious patterns. Now, of course, the next mode of operation is when you identify yourself mentally. And the mental model is usually backed by theories and intellectual concepts. The spiritual model, that is all about ideas, which comes solely from the unified field. And so the big difference between the three is two of these are dualistic, and one is whole and complete. And so that's one of the reasons why this concept of understanding ourselves spiritually is so important. That's the whole thing of becoming a whole person. Total consciousness, this process in development that we're trying to initiate when we practice Kriya Yoga.
Now, we had talked before the show, and I had a quote from some of the research I did earlier, and this quote is, "Your feeling nature is deep. Dream your future into being." So we had talked about that. We talked about the differences between dreaming and visualizing, and I think you hit on some key points. Could you let our listeners know what you felt about that particular quote?
Well, I think there's a difference between dreaming or daydreaming even, and when you consciously are creating using imagination, using your creativity. And that conscious participation is, I think, the biggest difference. One you have a sense of control and autonomy, and the other one, you're just letting things happen to you. And that's the whole thing that I think is different when you're trying to do something spiritually. Because most of our effort, it's kind of like in yoga we talk about, first of all, we talk about pratyahara, which is sense withdrawal. And then we talk about dharana, which is concentration. And then we talk about dhyana, which is meditation. So this unfolding of our mode of operation, how consciousness is working. Sense withdrawal really means that we have to separate from material input, from sensual awareness. And then we have this conversion where now we are getting our input from the unified field, which is non-dualistic. And so as a result, our material senses just don't have any mode of operation here. So now you're relying primarily on just pure willpower. And the application of willpower, when you are employing it with concentration and focus, is really all about holding ourselves in sync with divine law. That we're really trying to harmonize personal interest with collective purpose. Your personal will with the will of God.
Now, we've been talking about will a lot lately in relationship to, let's say, healing. So isn't it different when you're using will, which is of our mortal being, our mortal mind, isn't it different than using spiritual will?
Yeah, and just like it's different if you're using difference between thoughts and ideas. And a lot of it has to do with not only understanding how we're creating reality, that thoughts are energy capable of producing effects, that how we think is what we become. But then we have the capacity to think on different levels. And then underlying the whole thing of thought being an energy capable of producing effects, you have to understand that it's all measurable based on the amount of strength that we emit it with. And it's the whole thing of this thing called belief. So that if your thought is backed by belief, then it has the power of intention. But then there's a whole dynamic that goes on with what are our beliefs? What is it that I believe in? All right, physical beliefs require tangible evidence. And so say, for example, we believe in medication. We believe in acupuncture. We believe in massage. Then that's what your belief is in. Now, mental beliefs require theory, intellectual support. But again, they're backed by the placebo effect. You've got a 37.5% chance of believing in what you're doing. So working with affirmations, you have the chance of affecting changes. But with these two belief systems, you have to realize that you're working with manifested and the complementary unmanifested other part as your template, as a backup. It's not a whole picture. It's not Purna. It's not perfect. And that's the difference between spiritual beliefs, because must be in harmony with divine law. They stem from the unified state, the absolute. They're whole, they're complete, they're perfect. And that's one of the reasons why you would want to use spiritual beliefs as opposed to material beliefs or human will.
So I have a question for you about the beliefs. Now, some people might think that they would be able to do all three. They can have physical beliefs, and then the mental beliefs you talked about, and spiritual beliefs. Can you do all three, or is this like it's not all or nothing, or it can only be spiritual beliefs and nothing else works? How does that work out?
Well, that's a great question, because to answer your question, you can mix material beliefs with mental beliefs, but you can't mix spiritual beliefs with material or mental beliefs. And that's one of the things that you might learn the hard way, that this whole thing of your relationship with the divine is a mutually exclusive relationship. And it doesn't work with anything else.
Now, I've heard you say before that we cannot serve two masters. So you are saying that is what you're talking about. So the physical and the mental would be like one master, and spiritual would be another master. So you can't serve both and expect a certain return.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what Jesus says in the Bible. And the whole thing of the friend of the world is an enemy of God kind of a thing. That's one of the things that really requires a lot of clarification. And I think this moon conjunct Neptune may be a helpful transit to help us understand this concept of spiritual understanding.
Well, I think we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Wake up one morning, it's like, you know what? I'm tired.
Breathe Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, we just got done explaining about the physical beliefs and mental beliefs and spiritual beliefs and the origins of those. But how do we go from the physical beliefs and mental beliefs? How do we jump to spiritual beliefs so that we can be in harmony with divine law?
Yeah, I think probably the first thing you might want to do is you might want to try and determine what your beliefs are based on your reality, circumstances and situations in the real world. So say, for example, somebody has a cold in the office. Now, some of us may have a belief that we can catch that cold. Whereas if somebody has a spiritual belief, you have a belief in that your environment is completely filled with divine love seeking expression. And so there isn't really any harmful germ that can possibly invade your space. And so this is maybe one of the ways of maybe examining what my beliefs are. And then if you don't have spiritual beliefs, then that is something that you are going to have to try and create. And that's where, like I say, the practice of Kriya Yoga that we teach is really helpful, because it really begins with training our minds to serve spirit and then training our bodies to receive the image for validation. So it's the rebirthing of your body in this life force, this unified field. And then the physics starts to take place, the physics of spirituality, like attracts like. Once you have internalized spirit as your source of validation and your understanding of what spirit is, because spirit is and can only be principle-centered. Spirit is wholeness. It is peace. It is love. It is happiness. It is goodness only. The conflicts happen in the dualistic dimensions. That's the big difference. The dualistic dimensions are what create the conditions, and oftentimes abnormal conditions, which are completely in discord with divine law, which is seeking expression. See, the Creator is pouring out just perfect divine light, divine love, divine life. And it is us who are either receiving it or rejecting it.
Well, I think you just answered my next question, but I think when I ask it anyway, and that is, there may be people listening to this show that are thinking, hey, you know, my life is going pretty good. I seem to be happy. Everything is great. So why would I want to Why would I want to understand myself more spiritually? Everything is going great. It must already be spiritual because everything is wonderful in my life.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's really hard for me to answer a question like that because there are so many different things. But just because things are seemingly going good in your life may not mean that you are growing psychologically and spiritually in a positive direction. And there are a lot of ways that we can be experiencing happiness. There is worldly happiness, and there's intellectual happiness, but there's also eternal happiness. And eternal happiness only happens when we are identified with the changeless part of being, the changeless state of being, with divine law. Otherwise, we're in the realms of change. We're in the realms of duality. We're in the realms of suffering and decay. It's going to go down. Whether you realize it or not, if you are not drawing from divine law, then underlying whatever it is that you're doing is a certain degree of anxiety, fear. Because perfect love is what casts out fear. But then, as C.S. Lewis says, so do a lot of other things. But it's very important that we don't let inferior agents cast out our fear or manage our fear until we have reached that state where perfect love has, you know, we have internalized perfect love to cast out that fear. We have achieved that state of perfect love. Because there are benefits that come with it. Now, if you're not interested in that, that's all well and good. You're in the cycle of death and rebirth. You'll get to do it again. There's nothing intrinsically evil about what's going on. But if you have a sense of wanting to experience total consciousness, wholeness, spiritual understanding, and maybe awaken your likeness in the divine and again experience some of the benefits that could come with that, then this would be what you would be looking to do.
So that brings us back to what transformation is all about, and that has to do with what's going on with the transits right now, right? The transformations?
Well, you've got the sextile to Pluto, which would give you a real good opportunity to understand what transformation is. Because again, it's another one of those all-encompassing words that can mean anything to anybody. But transformation is going from ice to water to vapor. And so that's a chemical change. And a lot of times we mistaken mechanical changes for a chemical change, which is a transformation. And when you try and translate transformation into human experience, it's really going from physical to mental to spiritual awareness. Now, we make these shifts in consciousness every day when we go from waking state to dream state to dreamless state. But again, like we talked about, dreaming is different than to be able to consciously and willfully make these shifts in consciousness. And that's what a metaphysical or a mystical system enables a person to do, is develop these capabilities so that you can make these shifts in consciousness consciously and willfully, which now means that these become additional resources of energy that we can actually draw from and utilize in the unfolding of us becoming whole people.
So that's our goal, right, for us to transform, as we want to become whole. And isn't that also what we determined that the word healing comes from, is to be whole?
Exactly. The origins of the word to heal means to be whole. And that's, again, an important thing. And one of the things that I'm really learning to understand is the role of healing in this whole developmental process. Because it really is true consciousness that brings perfect health. And then, of course, what is perfect health? Because you can be in a healthy condition, and it's not the same as when you are in the image of the divine. The image of the divine holds the template of perfect creation, and that's what we want to reflect. We can do it humanly, and if you are satisfied with your condition, but you have to recognize that it's not the same as when you have this spiritual understanding of yourself.
Well, it's interesting that you use the word reflection, because isn't that what we want to do? We want to reflect the divine. We want to reflect our divinity towards other people. And like you say, you know, what surrounds you is within you. So if we can put that type of energy out there, that divine energy out there, then we get it back threefold.
Right. That whole thing of, like you say, what we're putting out is what we're getting back, but also what level of consciousness we are. Like when we do theory two and we're going through the labyrinth, one of the paths that we say that we want to recognize the divine in all persons. Now, part of that is when you are accustomed to seeing yourself as a eternal spiritual being, that you have this divine awareness, then that's after a while what you see everywhere. And I love what Yogi Bhajan had said, if you don't see God everywhere, you don't see God anywhere. And so if you have some approximation, or you are in a lesser belief level of consciousness than divine law, then of course that's what you're going to see. It's like Walt Whitman said, the world is jagged and broken to him who is jagged and broken. So a lot of it has to do with us recognizing that we are made in the likeness of the divine. And then to reflect that image, because a big part of our purpose as an individual is really here to glorify God. And however you go about doing that with your unique talent, but the bottom line is to basically turn over everything that we do, everything that we accomplish to divine law.
So my question to you is, can somebody have a condition, whether it's physical or mental, and still have that spirit of the divine within them?
I think all of that stuff is kind of in proportion. I think our unfolding happens in kind of like degrees. The whole concept of being spiritual really, to me, is more physics than it is magic. It's more of a science, so it's exact. It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. And the same is true with growing psychologically and spiritually. That's why I really like using solar eclipses kind of like as an indicator for this gestation period, and having some tangible evidence to work with, so that I can start to see, am I growing psychologically and spiritually, or am I still restricted in my development? Because that 2 year, 2 month, and 28 day cycle, but it doesn't happen by itself, and it doesn't happen by accident. That's what initiation, that's what religion is all about. We have to make that happen, and we have to be taught how to do it from somebody who can do it.
And so that goes without saying that in the opening, we said that we wanted to, you had said that we're all here to glorify the Creator. So in order to do that, to me, what we need is guidance, and we need an example for us to be able to do that.
Yeah, and we have to be taught how to do it. And that's what religion, and that's what metaphysical and mystical systems are here for us.
Well, I think it's about that time we have to start closing down our show. So, listeners, I'd like to invite you out there to visit the website, ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make comments about this post or give us ideas for future shows you'd like us to do. But keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming because we enjoy hearing from you. Next week, we're going to have a great show. We're going to talk about the Advent and the full moon. So be sure to also listen to our weekly Facebook Live episodes that we do every Wednesday at 5 p.m. So, Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody luck in trying to awaken themselves in the divine image. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.